This is fine. This is a poor substitute for therapy, but an excellent substitute for other podcasts.
We're not like other podcasts.
Join us as we find the answers to the universe's biggest questions like, is butter a carb? Does crying burn calories? And what the fuck am I doing with my life? We're here to be your part-time therapist, astrologer, concierge doctor, and fairy godmother. Do you need someone to validate you today? Cool. Come on in. We're fine. This is fine. Beautiful little cosmic angels. It's me. I'm here. Welcome back. I'm your host, Dominique, and I'm extra excited today because our moon mama is also back. Shannon Aganza, master oracular astrologer, my mentor and teacher, the woman who made me the astrologer and forever celestial student that I am today. She's finally back. We're a few days early, but happy zodiacal new year. We're wrapping up our 12th season right now, Pisces, we love. And we're charging ahead like little fiery rams into Aries season. This is the beginning of a new astrological year. The first sign of the zodiac brings cardinal fire into our lives, which is fitting for a lot of what we're going to talk about today. Big planetary changes that affect the world with a major vibe shift. This is all on a collective level, so it affects all of us. We're getting some big moves from earth and water into fire and air. This is feisty, active, hot, communicative, creative energy. While earth and water is down and in, chill and practical, fire and air is exactly not that. It is the opposite. We're also going to talk about all three Mercury retrograde seasons this year, so stay tuned for that at the end. When the retrogrades are happening, where they're happening, and how they're going to affect you, we're going to get into all of that. Today's episode is a long one, so we've bookmarked sections and segments for you to navigate. All of that is in the description, so don't worry, it's all listed out for you. I won't keep you waiting any longer. Let's bring Shannon in. Shannon, it has been way too long. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
I am fine. How are you?
You know, I'm also fine.
And I feel like both of us saying we're fine, those were coming through the lens of our Libra. Of like,
oh my God, literally, it's fine. Like literally it's the entire theme of this entire podcast is like this energy that we're feeling right now. Honestly, super on brand for us.
Well, our Libra is going to come in handy for this coming time, because we are
okay.
We're moving into a time of like having to come into balance, having to balance polarities, having to bring in the extremes, because we still have a lot of that energy. But the other part is that if I had to pick, which is always so hard for me to like pick one theme.
Because Libra.
Exactly. All that other Virgo editing, like, don't forget this word, don't forget that word, all the Virgo parts. But if I were to pick a thematic energy, the biggest thing I'm looking at of what we're moving into in this next year, and it's just going to build over the next few years here, and really solidify, okay, there we are, name that reality. Like, we'll be able to name that really as we're starting it now, and it isn't until like 2025, even 2026, where it goes, okay, locked. Okay. And the thematic shift is we're moving from having to accomplish things more from a dense kind of earth-based energy. Earth is good. We're not taking Earth down, but Earth moves slowly and is solid, right? And air is not solid. And so this next year, we're kind of having those big energetic transitions, moving into not just air, but fire. So we're moving from sort of water, earth, to air, fire.
Right.
And
okay.
I know you know that from, you know, just learning like basic, the basic astrological principles of
earth
and water, in and down, move slow.
Yep.
Fire and air are up and out and moves fast because it doesn't have as much density to deal with. And so just a little of the, you know,
the astrological terminology here. So a bit of what's shifting that. Well, we've spoken in the past about Pluto moving into Aquarius.
Yep.
So that's one of the biggest things that kind of, boom, sets the tone.
Yep.
Where we have that Earth Pluto moving, yes, into air. Thank you. Into that air mm-hmm. sign of these next 20 years of and 2021 years, really. So just I'll put the little time bookends because we have Pluto in Aquarius. It isn't quite exactly like totally settled in. It will be there until September, like 1st, 2nd of this year.
Okay.
And it just little bit, just boop, boop. Just
dipping the toes.
Dip the toe back into Capricorn, 29 degrees. Capricorn from September 1st, 2nd through about November 19th. So there's these okay. little bits, which I'll get into, where we're kind of happy for that moment because I think this is what's going to happen. And I'll fill in those spaces. But between this time right now through that September, we've got a lot of moving pieces. And mm-hmm. so within that, it's like, we might want that time to sort of catch our breath. And
okay.
not that I'm saying everything's going to be super easy during that time, but it gives us just a little bit more time to sort of, you know, integrate. Like just, that is my favorite word with Earth transits are integration moments. Like it slows things down enough to like understand. And we'll go through that too when we look at our Mercury retrograde cycles this year too.
I love that you are bringing up Mercury retrograde because something that we haven't really done yet is sort of demystifying Mercury retrograde, how it's not such yes. a bad thing. And I think we can get into that a little bit more today as well.
Oh, I would love to. And just
amazing.
Because once we get it, once we understand what the Mercury retrogrades are there for, you know, I personally look forward to them because I tend to be a person that just go, 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 move, 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 move. And I have
relatable,
exactly, Ms. Virgo. You know, that slow down time and pause time. And yep. So when we do go, I will just little disclaimer to add a little more to this conversation of this Pluto energy and things moving fast. The Mercury retrograde cycles will mostly be in fire. That is where right. they are taking their time. So even though they will be retrograding, and we'll do just like that little Mercury retrograde 101 in
yes.
a little bit here. But we know about fire and air. So we have this Pluto air, you know, able to ignite that fire, air and fire.
Stoking the flames.
Exactly. So
okay.
even though Mercury will have these retrograde cycles predominantly in fire, there's still a lot of moving energy. And
okay.
so, yeah, we'll break that down in a few minutes here. But so going back to that more thematic energy, we have Pluto's now moved into Aquarius and will predominantly be there, you know, until that November 19th and of this year of 2024. And then it's solidly in there until March of 2043. So solid. It's there
wow,
for
yeah.
a long time.
It's a good old chunk of time.
It's a chunk of time. And it is a time-shaping cycle. Meaning,
right.
I'll now go into the other thematic energies. What we mm-hmm. have here in these next few years here, we have all of the outer planets. So outer planets are Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. We have Uranus is going to move into Gemini, mm-hmm. air, moving out of slow, dense Earth, moving into air. And then
the slowest and densest Earth.
Exactly. And yeah. then we have Neptune will be moving into Aries in this time. So fire. So we Oof, see yeah. those outer planets, the time shapers, the age shapers, moving out of Earth and water into fire and air. So that's
that's the our due diligence of why is it going to be so expansive and moving fast and that's why, you know. And then all the other planets,
spicy year,
spicy next few years. And so,
yeah, okay.
And then the other thing we have Jupiter. Jupiter's this year going to move into Gemini.
Oh, right. Yes.
So that's another one moving out of, again, slow, dense, you know, the Taurus into, you know, into air. And I think I've probably spoken about this on this podcast before, that of all the cycle change transitions, probably one of the most extremes is when we go from Taurus to Gemini. So just when we feel it on a small level, like the sun, the moon, you know, we feel it the most. It's the most like, you know, non-moving.
Breaking free.
To the most moving. Gemini is arguably the most air of air as far as it, because it's mutable.
The mutable.
Exactly. Exactly. And what is Taurus of Earth?
Fixed.
So we don't.
Can you hear the exasperation in my voice?
Exactly. So we can see it's almost like slingshotty, right? So we've got like some kind of.
It's totally the visual.
Exactly. Of how we need to grip ourselves. And that's going to be the other part of when I'm speaking to people with, you know, without having to use all the astrological terminology. It's a year, 2024 is a year of. Okay, we still have, like, things are shifting. Like, it's moving. We don't, there's no getting off the train now. Like, even, I have a feeling this will even sound antiquated to say the space shuttle. Like, space shuttle's going to feel antiquated, like, coming up here. But it's like.
I'm like, no, it sounds normal.
But it's like things are launching in a way that we can't, we're not going to be able to go back. And
wow, okay. Beginning of a new era.
Beginning of a new era. But what we can do during still kind of that transition time, 2024, is we still have time enough being able to go in, being able to go within, you know, because what's happening is I feel like, okay, and I don't want to get negative here, but. You know, one of the things I will mention is we tend, when Uranus goes into Gemini, whenever Uranus is in Gemini, it tends to, we tend to have wars. And like we had, oh my gosh, I'm going to try to remember, like the American Revolution, Civil War, and World War II, just for some timestamps.
Oh, wow. Okay, so those were the last three times that planet was in that sign.
Yes, and by the way.
Casual.
Uranus enters Gemini in July of 2025. So this is why I'm bringing this up.
Okay.
Because we still have
and
time.
And the last time, oh, sorry, I was going to say the last time Pluto was in Aquarius was also the revolution.
Yes. And it's actually the time when our, you know, when the Constitution was signed, but then, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. Pluto was in Aquarius when, when the, you know, when we signed those documents of like, this is a nation for the people, like, and Pluto Aquarius is the people, like we are the people. So we're going to see a lot of—
Like the French Revolution, same thing. Like it was about the people versus the monarchy.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, we'll see the things around that, like what that's going to look like. But it is about, you know, things for the people, right? So it isn't until that, you know, basically a year and a half or almost a year and a half from now that we kind of go into that territory. But by the time we get there, things will, that's when things are more taking shape and form of like, okay, this is the new, air quote, age, you know, of the next. And so we still have time to kind of go within and do our work. And so my prediction, and this is, you know, maybe this is a Libra spin, but I do think, like I'm doing the math too, but I feel the, like, again, war it's not going to look the same as it did in these other wars, you know, as far as like boots on the ground, you know, because so much of the energy was held earth, territories. I think it's more like, if I go way out there on a spiritual level, it's more of like our consciousness. There's a war for
mind war.
Mind war. That's, I think things are going to be different. And literally, I mean, things might be fought. When I say in space, I mean like, you know, wiping a satellite out, like wiping our technology out. It's more of that. That's what I think it's going to be. It's scary, but I don't know why. I feel like, well, if my home is safe, like I don't have to worry about a bomb falling out of the sky, you know, and I don't know. This is just my speculation that it's more of those things. So right now, it's a time of, you know, backing things up, not having everything in the cloud. Like, okay, so here's a good example. So I don't know if this is appropriate to mention, like, the day we are recording. So today recording, it's, it's a special day because it's February 29th, leap year.
It's leap day.
But just like a little bit of a, you know, something telling us of what the future could be and a little warning. So what we're in right now is this, it's another rare configuration. We have Sun, Saturn, Mercury, all sitting at 9 degrees Pisces. And so it's yesterday we had like Coinbase crypto. So crypto is going to be a thing. Like everybody just understand. Like, you're going to have to get in the game. As far as, like, BlackRock just bought $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. Like, it's going to, things are going to be exchanged in a more air element platform. But yesterday, Coinbase, which is maybe, I'm speaking as if, like, I sound like I know what I'm talking about, which I don't. but from what I know.
You know more than me.
Coinbase is the most... probably it's the safest, most common place to do your crypto trading. And everybody looked at their Coinbase yesterday and it said their account was $0. And it was like, wow, you know, and for me, this was like a warning of there's, so again, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I guess you're supposed to put your balance on a ledger. Like we're supposed to put, like not keep it on that place. So maybe this is a good example. Just we can look at this in the rest of our life.
Back up your stuff.
Yes, exactly. Not have everything like in a cloud or in the, so that it could be hacked and taken, that if you have it on your ledger, you can, you know, it's, it wouldn't be hackable. And I can't tell you how to do that, but I know that, like, that was a Saturn going, okay, this, and of course, it came back on, everything was fine, but it put that panic in. That was Saturn being really nice
to
us.
It spooked us.
It spooked us. It's like, this is a trial run of what things might be in the future. This is why I will always have my books. Nobody can ever take my paper away.
I love my paper.
I love my paper. And you... you know, and I think if things go out, like this is the new theme. Things cycle through faster. So, this whole network went down, or the water system was hacked. I don't know. I'm just bringing things up. It might be, you know, but then it gets back on quicker. So it's not, we're just...
there's a faster rebound.
There's a faster rebound. This is so funny. I was literally not thinking, like, I'm just going to go straight into these kind of things. But it's more of a right now, this year, like, what do we need to do as individuals? What work do we need to do to go, okay, we're prepared for things? And I don't mean like prepper type, you know, being ready. It's just more of like the simple little things.
Like making a bunker.
Like making a bunker. That is not what I, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. We don't need to go Mark Zuckerberg. But it's more of the, just those simple little things, like Saturn is in Pisces and being, when Saturn's in Pisces, this is my experience with Saturn Pisces, is that it's not so, yes, no, you know, you did this, you broke the law, you were going 67 miles an hour in a 65 zone, you know, you get a ticket.
Like Saturn and Cap.
That's Saturn Cap, exactly. And it's kind of just Saturn, you know, Saturn's just, where do I draw
it's
the line?
State.
There's no liminal space. This is, that's the boundary. We set the boundary at 65, except for when Saturn is in Pisces.
It's like, you know what? Okay.
No rules.
I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to figure this out. So it's sort of like nice dad that's, you know, still trying to teach us.
Would you say it's the gentlest?
Yes. I would say gentlest as far as Saturn as Saturnian a personality. Lessons. Yeah, that's Saturn.
Yeah, totally.
It's still Saturn, you know, but it's like we're getting a chance. And so that's kind of how I looked at that yesterday. And it was pretty funny too, because Mercury Pisces, hello, double debilitated.
I know, I was thinking that too.
You know, but it was also big illusion, right? So we had this illusion, but it's like, this was just a test. It's like the, you know, the fire test at school, you know, like, okay, the alarm's going off. What do we do? Yeah. We're walking through this. So if things really do, you know, go down next year, you know, or the year after, we're okay. It's like, oh, I prepped. I'm fine. I hate that word.
We've been
I'm sorry.
This before.
I would have saying prep. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, I am so big on balance when we're trying to just correct things that could be out of balance. You know, you do the moderation. If we feel our heart palpitating and we get panicked, like you're not in a flow. And that's, again, what I think this year can be, is we're finding our own self. We're finding our own mind. And when I say mind, I really mean it's not just the brain or the frontal lobe function. It's consciousness. And that, if I go cosmic, so I just went from possible war into consciousness. Libra.
Just another day in the life. Yeah.
Extreme. But that consciousness level, I feel like the things that are happening right now, and that's part of this, like even Neptune being at the very end of Pisces before it goes into Aries, which kind of is a reboot of a grander cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going into Aries. By the way, what is Aries? Brain. It's literally the brain. And our eyes.
The head.
What we see. The head. But Pisces is that ultimate ethereal. And even though I do not acknowledge Neptune as ruler of Pisces, I do see a major affinity for Pisces and Neptune.
And Neptune. There's a little Venn diagram of some qualities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they, you know, there's this kind of clairvoyant thing going on between those two that, you know, energetically. But it gives the masses, you know, that Neptunian and Pisces, like still grasping when I'm talking about consciousness, you know, being able to see outside of the self, outside of this earth-based place that we've been. Like, we're still in our bodies. We're still here in the earth, but it sort of expands our consciousness to where, you know, we can still glimpse outside of normal parameters. Or here, I'll just go right into that of the consciousness talk of being able to see, like, okay, well, what am I thinking? How do I see this? And not be as susceptible to all the talk and the fear that goes on in the outer world and people being able to
all
program
that chatter.
All that chatter. Because that is the other thing. What does Neptune do? It's a solvent. You know, it dissolves parameters. So to say it as simply as I could, it's like we're very susceptible to being hypnotized. Like it's a, you know, being in that open energy.
Kind of like dream state.
Yeah, of being programmed. And so.
Easily influenced.
Easily influenced, exactly. You know, so I think like we're going to see a lot shift in media. I think we're going to see a lot shift in where we get our information, how we get our information. And I think it's going to move from going back to Pluto, where it's like, yes, it's monarchies. It's also these, you know, if we look at certain, like only a few entities holding all the power to whatever, you know, we bring this into media, Pluto Aquarius media, you know, that it is, you know, the people, we might be getting our information from different sources, like you. you know, being able, okay, I can listen to Dominique because I know she does her due diligence. She has these people on. I love who she has on. And I'm getting in a different piece of information that I might not have gotten somewhere else. You know, so
I'm so flattered that I was the example here.
Hey, you're a great example because you really are, you know, you have fine-tuned your discernment tool. You're very good at being open to new information, but also knowing like, I don't know about that. Like, or, okay, these tests were done. Like if we're talking about health or any of those things and looking at the tests or, you know, through like a clear-minded, you know, lens. And okay,
like open, but not too easily influenced, hopefully.
Exactly. And so we can't be lazy anymore. I think we need to, you know, we get to play with this year of exercising our own discernment, but it isn't so earth discernment, you know, of moving slowly where things are moving really quickly. And, you know,
that makes sense.
And then bringing in some more, like all the themes, the nodes, like, yes, we have the nodes are in fire and air. So we're just going to see this fire, air theme this whole year.
This feels really feisty.
It could go feisty, but if we know about feisty fire people, they're feisty. Mm-hmm. And then what do? They clear it all out. And then they're good. So there's something that we can learn from this energy. that we can move energy quicker. Yeah. And I think that, again, this is, you know, we're getting used to that. Or maybe giving ourselves permission to be flow. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this really bothered me. Instead of just sitting with it and clogging my throat chakra and not saying anything. And like, oh, well, I can't because, okay, fears of like, I don't know, I could lose my job or I could, you know, if it's a boss I could lose this friendship. All those parts, it might just literally come out. And then, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. And it doesn't mean—
like metaphorically, like— clearing your throat.
Literally, yes. And metaphorically. Like
Taurus is the throat.
Taurus is the throat. So, okay. So this is a good segue into what I would say is our probably maybe the most important transit of this entire year.
Okay.
Is we're going to have Jupiter-Uranus joined in Taurus.
In Gemini.
In Taurus.
Oh, in Taurus, my bad.
No. Okay. And that, I'll give you that window of time, but that's a big one. And to me, that's sort of like even, maybe that's more of the beginning of the year, even though, yes, we're doing this on the beginning of the astrological year, but that kind of like builds things up and shifts things through. And, you know, so that may be the metaphoric throat chakra, energy, because we have a lot of potential for breakthrough, for healing with this transit, with this year, but it isn't without our own work, you know, because this is, you know, it's like unrestrained growth, because what is Jupiter? Expansion.
Yeah, unrestrained growth.
Yes, exactly. It's unrestrained growth. Yeah, I have to use a metaphor that I heard. Who was it? I think it's Rick Levine. I love Rick Levine. He's a modern astrologer, but he still references traditional. Anyways, it doesn't matter. You don't need all that background. But I love his metaphor.
Some of us do.
He used like Jupiter, Saturn, and a balloon, that it's like you're blowing all this air into the balloon is that Jupiter. So it's like Jupiter's just going, and the balloon is Saturn. It's the boundary. So the air stops at the balloon because Saturn helps to, this is why we have paradigm shifts during Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions, which, you know, happen every 20 years, why I call them course correction times. But with Jupiter Uranus, it's that balloon breaks. That it's unbridled growth, expansion, movement.
I have this like idea in my head of like two people who are just like kind of up to no good, like who shouldn't really be in the same car together, like going on a journey.
Oh my God. Yes. That and yeah. And doing the thing you would never have done before.
Yeah. Just. Like those two people probably shouldn't be together, but they are right now.
That's great. Exactly. And that, yes. It's so it is. Yes, you may do things. So just to give a little bit of time here, like we really feel this energy on a totality. We're going to feel it between April 17th through April 30th.
Okay.
And we'll see them kind of crossing each other, moving, like, I mean, by like degree. So it's going to move from basically 21 degrees to 22, going into 23 degrees. But,
and the sun Taurus will be there in Taurus as well, right?
Yes, it will. Yeah. And
little glow.
Doing what? Shining light. Another little moment, just, you know, as I'm looking, I'm literally looking at the chart right now. And, the sun moves into Taurus, yeah, during this. But when we start this trek, the sun will be in Aries. And then it moves into Taurus, which, by the way, another little point, you know, if we have the nodes in Aries and Libra, that means we have eclipses in Aries and Libra. In this particular Aries eclipse, oh my gosh. Okay, Shannon, April 8th, I believe it's April 8th, will be that solar eclipse. That's going to be a big one. That is a big one.
Okay.
So we're going to
mark your calendars.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're coming off of that. And then we go into this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So this this is going to be where maybe we start to be able to make sense of things. And luckily, because it is still Earth, this is what I mean. We're having all of this illumination, expansion, out of bounds, out of control energy, but it's still landing in Earth. So it's sort of like, okay, we're looking at what we're doing right now. We're laying our concrete. Like it's still wet, but we still have a choice as to which direction we're going to go. And I mean this in both directions, meaning outer world stuff, what we are collectively agreeing upon, and individually. So even though we have all this energy, and I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities this year to do things differently, but I want people to focus on themselves, you know? I think that we need to—
Like self-exploration this year?
Yes. And still, and come try to get used to coming from the point of self out rather than letting the out dictate how you go in. Do you know what
What's
I mean?
In? Okay. Wait, yeah. And I love that you're bringing up this theme. I've said it on the past couple episodes, but I made like a 30-slide PowerPoint about who I am for myself to figure out like, who am I if I don't introduce myself by like what I do for a living or like who I'm related to or like where I went to school, and just trying to really deeply explore who I am and what I value and what I think I offer the world. And this feels like very on theme with the energy that you're talking about. And I'm like, oh my God, cosmic flow.
Cosmic flow. Yes. And where you came from and what you can do to shift of what you don't like. And I love that you said that, because I think you literally said, you know, what school you went to. I think there are parts of you that you undervalue, and you know, you went to USC, you had marketing, not just journalism, but like that's a lot, like to offer the world and a seed that you can build on. You received world-class education. And so it's like, coming back home to those roots and then coming from that point, right?
Okay. Yeah. I loved the exploration part. Like it felt like a really cool activity to really just like get in there. And like you were saying, like there are certain things that like I maybe don't value so much or even forgot about. And I pulled some of these things and I'm like, oh my gosh, I did that. Like that's a thing I experienced and did. Like I totally forgot about it. And it's so cool. And I've been telling all of my friends, like, you need to make a who am I deck. Like
<That's>
you need to make yourself a little PowerPoint.
It is the
ultimate North Node in Aries activity.
So true.
Which is,
I didn't even realize.
Which is what I'm saying, that like, that's a beautiful thing. There they are in fire and air. So what does that mean? They are in harmony with these other energies mm-hmm. that are moving. And,
okay. Yeah.
Like, and it will become easier, like even then when Jupiter moves in. So Jupiter will move into Gemini May 25th at 4:15 p.m. Pacific time. I am so looking forward to that. It is in my calendar. And we'll be there through June 9th of 2025. So we know okay. Jupiter, growth, expansion, all of those things. And what's nice, bringing back that Jupiter-Saturn, Jupiter and Saturn will square all year
ooh.
As Jupiter moves into Gemini. Because
like limits to expansion?
But it's mutable. So I'm okay, so looking not so at this as a safety. This is your seatbelt driving at 150 okay. miles an hour.
With the top down. With and the top music down. Blasting.
Exactly. It's like, okay. And your airbags. It's the, so
yeah.
This is a good thing because, again, you can hear my theme. Things may be moving faster than people are comfortable with. And so
okay.
here they're squaring, but it's again, a mutable square, where squares we tend to feel as resistance, right? We feel it as resistance and conflict and like, ah, and it's usually the conflict is because someone's fighting our action. So I look at okay. this as more Saturn is tempering that Jupiter energy that is so okay. ready to go, because Jupiter likes to go many places, right? And right, Jupiter in Taurus has gone, you know, places, but it's taken a really long time to get there. Jupiter's had to move very slow. Mm-hmm. So it is like, oh my God, like almost not quite as bad as when, you know, the same metaphor we used when Jupiter was in Capricorn moving into Aquarius, where I think the metaphor I might have used like here on this podcast was like getting out of prison, but then the, you know, the posse shows up at that whatever those doors where they let you out and they get, you have oh all these.
Like the wing.
Yeah, the wing. Exactly. And it's like, whoo, bum, 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 you know, the music's going, here's a pile of cash, let's go. You know, that was prison. That really extreme, you know, as far as
yeah.
like, because Jupiter literally
the vibe
was
shift.
Like in a dungeon, like not just a prison, but a dungeon. So it was so free. So it's a little, it's not quite as extreme as that. It's more of like maybe waiting in line, you know, here living in San Diego.
At the DMV.
Either at the DMV. I was also thinking like crossing the border, like anybody who's tried
oh, yeah,
to come
at the borderline.
From Mexico back into the U.S., you know, here at San Diego.
I sure
it's like,
have.
Oh my gosh, I could just, the hours, because I used to go down for, you know, I did some medical stuff down there many years ago. Every day would be, like it could be 2 hours, it could be 7 hours. But then once you hit God. The border, it was like, woo, you know.
It's blasting home.
Blasting home, like just literally, that's more of how I'm looking at this one of like,
okay,
that boundary, the like, okay, we have to check everybody's everything, you know, and yep. then you're just free.
Into and the, then you're home free.
And then you're home free. So it's kind of like that where, it doesn't take as long to get what you want. But we might be so, like, that. This is actually a good example. So the temptation would be, okay, I'm free. I'm just going to drive this car 87 miles an hour. And then
right.
here comes Saturn police car. That is dangerous. Slow down. You know, it's more just like, slow down. Here's a ticket. I'm not like taking you to jail, but just, you know,
yeah.
we would be slightly penalized for not slowing.
Okay.
So I hope that.
Slap on the wrist.
I hope that's good. I feel like my metaphor chip is a little malfunctioning today. So I hope that makes
no,
sense.
No, honestly, like. Everything you're saying makes perfect sense to me. I'm like on the vibe, riding the same wave.
Yes. And that, and so again, like we're happy to have that. We're going to just say thank you to, again, Saturn's a little, it's nice dad or nice mom yeah. or the nice parent.
Gentle parenting.
Gentle parenting. Okay, I'll give you a pass. But yeah. you will have to deal with this. Like I'm warning you, not so you get away with something, but Right. I'm giving you an easier opportunity to do the right thing or do what is healthiest for you the next time. Because that's all it is.
Learn from your mistake.
Learn from your mistake. Okay. I wish I just said that. That's a little sound note. You could just like edit all that out and just go, exactly. Just, we're learning from our mistakes.
It's a learning moment. It's a teachable moment from Saturn.
Exactly. Without being heavily penalized. So, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And I love that. Would it be, you keep going.
No, you go. I need to be quiet more.
I was just going to say, no. This is your episode.
We're so Libra. That was like a Libra clip.
No, you.
No, you. No, you.
No, I'm sorry. No, you.
That is so funny.
Would you say that it would be a good idea for anyone listening to locate where Gemini is in their chart to see where this is going to be popping off?
Oh, yes. Yes. See which house. Cool. And if you have any planets, this is so good. See exactly where is Gemini. It looks like two columns or the Roman numeral two. If you're looking at your chart and you see that glyph on the outer edge and you see if you have any planets in Gemini, because wherever Jupiter goes, there those planets get a zhuzhen, you know, an expansion, a lightening up.
I'm nervous.
And it's good. No, this is good because it is.
I'm like, am I going to be a huge bitch?
No, not at all. Okay. My gosh. No, where's Mars your Gemini? What do you have in Gemini?
10th house in Mars.
Oh, this is great. This is great. No.
Okay.
Like this is.
I'm like, no, I'm going to be a huge a-hole. Like it's going to make me so Marsy.
Well, okay. I mean, just for the sake of an academic conversation, you know, I'm not saying you personally, but that would be, we would look at that as, like more I'm thinking that eruptive anger or like, you know, letting your anger get the best of you or feeling really upset by something that, you know, it's like, oh, that really bothers me. Like, okay, we'll just use an example. I don't know, somebody plagiarizes your work. I'm just using that as an example because it's 10th house and it's a Gemini.
Solid example.
Words. And, you know, so you get, it really gets the best of you instead of like, you know what? It's a form of flattery. And I came up with that. Right. They can't, you know, they're not going to be able to follow through with that information because they didn't come up with it. So, you know, stuff like that would be what I would say specifically with that. But it, Jupiter, Mars can be, anger. But then it gets out. You might say the thing, as we were saying earlier, that is,
the throat clearing.
Exactly. And you will take Jupiter to the moment when it's going to be crossing your Mars, and you will know your window. This is what we do astrology for, right? Because we can be forewarned. And then if we know, I call that a zip the lip transit. Just during.
I love when you warn me about those.
And it's just during Gemini and Mars, and only if you feel this like extreme aggressiveness.
The spice coming up.
And you write it down because we don't want to suppress it, but we give it a place to be what? Internalized. It's probably something that has more to do with you than other.
What is it triggering?
Yes. Things only trigger us. Outer events come in. They're always our teacher. It's just reminding us, you're still out of balance in this. You still have something to clean up. And when you overcome it, then it's like, okay, I'm free. And then you don't have those circumstances come into your life anymore. It is like magic. And that probably is the biggest thing. I was thinking about this morning, actually, that like really challenging transits just personally for myself that I've had, because I'm already thinking about, I am so ahead. I'm already thinking about the nodes when they move into Pisces and Virgo and how, because that will be the next stop. And that's where I have a lot of my like I Chihuahua
personal
stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's where my landmines are in the Virgo Pisces axis and how challenging that they used to be. And then, oh my gosh, 9 years ago or, you know, 10 years ago, like it wasn't as bad. And then, and I really thought about it, that truly, when you work with the energy that falls in your lap and you work it instead of escaping it, trying to justify it, whatever it is, and you just dive in head first and like, you know what? I'm out of balance here. What do I have to learn?
Yep.
It goes away. It really goes away.
Wow.
Because we have a way of tracking it, right? And so again, like with my own chart, looking at other people, that transit comes back around and it's like, whoa, I actually feel really solid. Why do I feel so grounded right now? Because you did work on it the last time it was around. So that is for any transit. It doesn't matter. It's just the triggering energies. So
okay. So use, again, the teachable moments.
Yeah. And here's the flip side of it, like Jupiter, Mars, if we're talking about you, in your 10th is like, it could be just so, I'm trying to think of the word, where it just takes off. Like you just take off in a very big way. Like here is your time. There's a slingshot in a positive light. So
I love that. It's not angry.
No, it can be energizing and
okay, cool.
Bring a lot of movement, not having the blocks that you've had in the past.
Okay.
So
this is good.
Funny.
So if anyone else has placement.
And I don't know, like we're turning, if you're comfortable with me talking about it, like as a reading. You're a good example.
Open book. You're good.
I think you're okay with me saying this. And again, you can edit it if you don't like it. But if we use the idea of AI, so AI is something that has been infringing into like literally what your profession is, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So this may be a moment of, okay, I'm not going to live in fear of AI there again, taking, you know, infringing into my personal career space as far as like people thinking that, oh, they can just use AI to generate content for their, you know, whatever, their, the writing articles, you know, and this may even be a moment where it does kind of like, oh no, we do need the person who does, like has the voice. So there's that part.
Okay.
But it may require you coming to peace with it and saying, you know what, I'm just going to use AI to do research. It's not going to write my article because only I can do that, but it can do a lot of research and make this tremendously easier for myself. So that would be a good example of Jupiter, Mars in 10th in Gemini overcoming that energy. And by the way, this is good because I think that's another conversation coming up because it is like coming. Pluto, Aquarius.
Yeah.
Is going to change how we interface with each other dramatically. I think even more than, you know, how when we had the internet.
Yep. More than we can possibly fathom.
More than we can possibly fathom. Because we have all
I've been trying to tell people that.
Yes. It's so, if you're stubborn and feel justified and like, and you could be right. Like you might be, we all might be right to go, screw it, we need to guard. Like there's another thing of guarding your consciousness, right? You know, like, no. But instead, like learn to work with it. Make AI your bitch.
Doesn't have to be the boogeyman.
don't be the bitch of AI, you know?
There's like, my spicy Mars energy.
Yeah. You my bitch. You doing this. Can we say that anymore? I am old.
I mean, you can say it here. This is a safe space.
I know, you know, you know the point I'm trying to make. No, so things 100%. Like that.
I think that's a great example.
So those are and those are gonna be things that, you know, I think a lot of people's professions are going to have that infringe, you know, but it's how do we stay, keep our humanity within it, you know?
Right.
We can do
maintaining your humanity.
Yeah. We as the people, that's the beauty of Pluto Aquarius setting a tone, Neptune moving into Aries, our individuality. Right.
The self, yeah, absolutely.
But having to work within the group in a different way, you know?
Yeah, and I love this.
And so I think I already said it. Sorry if I'm repeating, but Aries is the brain, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I started this whole thing of our mind, our consciousness, like it, Neptune's, and Neptune will be in Aries for 14 years. About, let's see, I have the dates.
Okay.
So Aries receives Neptune on March 30th of 2025. So again, you can see, like, it's about a year away, but it's going to be here before we know it. And it will retrograde right back into Pisces later in the year, in end of October. And then it moves back into Aries in January of 2026. So we have like a couple months there. Just like okay, we were saying with Pluto, just tips its toe, get to integrate.
Dip the toes.
What we just like, whoa, that's what that feels like. It's such a blessing when mm-hmm outer planets go into the next sign and then go back in to the old sign, because sometimes we need that time to go, what is going on? Okay, I got it. I got it. And then it moves in.
Yeah.
And we'll be there until May of 2028. I'm sorry, 2038. So we'll go into Taurus, May of 2038. So
to sort of illustrate the energy shift and the difference for people who are just beginning to familiarize themselves with the signs and the planets, you were saying that Neptune is going to spend 14-ish years in Aries, which means it spent a similar amount of time in Pisces, correct?
Yes.
So the past 14-ish years, or I guess 13, because we're going to have like a little bit more, right? What would you say like that energy is, like the Neptune in Pisces compared to Neptune in Aries, just so people can start to maybe reflect back on the past like decade and a half of their lives?
Right. Okay. That's a good question. To sort of survey Neptune in Pisces over the, like if we survey, and I think we won't be able to see this clearly until after Neptune solidly lands into Aries.
Okay.
But it is a lot of, dissolving of boundaries, dissolving of parameters. We saw a lot of breakdowns of systems, of belief systems, because that's a Pisces mm-hmm thing. What do I believe in? What do I think is real? What isn't real? And mm-hmm so I think we've seen a lot of that in the outer world, because again, Neptune is kind of that, you know, outer world shaper. And I think we'll be able to understand what those things were after we get into Neptune and Aries.
The 2020 hindsight.
And I can say like a few of the things, like, everything, we know everything's kind of, like if we say everything is a shit show, you know, or it's like, that's a little bit of it, because it takes, the way Pisces works, it kind of, it tries to have you look at everything, like everything is there, but it's like a drain, like the vision in my life, the vision I have in my head is, you know, like if a tsunami hits, and you know, when the water, mm-hmm, everything was in its place and organized, and then a tsunami or a big wave surge hits, that water just moves everything, like literally out of place, knocks it over. And then right when the water settles, everything's in a pile.
Okay.
So there's Neptune and Pisces. I mean, that's an exaggerated view. But then when Neptune moves into Aries, then Aries, eyes, we can see, we have clarity. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, what do we want to keep? What do we want to let go of? What are we cleaning up? So we have cleanup.
Of the Pisces mess.
Yeah, so there's that. But another big one, there's a really big one that we've seen over the last 14 years that maybe this is one of the biggest, I don't know, is the legalization of what is Neptune? Neptune would be hallucinogenics,
like,
or
drugs.
And a big, you know, like pharmaceuticals always, you know, they always have success.
Like of
pharmaceuticals
course
are like a lot of the backbone of our economy. But we've seen legalization, you know, even, you know, pot's been demystified. Like it's... Mm-hmm. Like that was 14 years ago, we were not there.
That's so true. Like it's such a radical change in the beliefs and the yes. sentiments around cannabis. Like
exactly. Huge. Yeah. I yeah. think pot. Cannabis. I was like, what's the proper yeah. word? Marijuana.
I got you. I was like Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
From the Dare program. Like
yes. People have allowed Mary Jane into their lives that never would have done that before. So
it's so true.
So there's that and doing psychedelic journeys. But Neptune mm-hmm. and Pisces, like putting spiritual parameters around it, meaning I'm going in because I'm trying to expand my consciousness, not just right. feel better Mindless. Today or go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
It's on a bigger level, right? Yeah. So that would be my guess as it moves into Aries, because I know like all the, you know, really structured people like right here where we live, you know, we have researchers here in San Diego that are doing the straight up research around using psychedelics, whether it's MDMA mm-hmm. around people with PTSD, psilocybin,
yeah.
All of those things as actual medicine and really helping, right. you know, there would be the Neptune and Pisces. I have no control. It's the most not in control energy, we could yeah. say, unbridled.
Right.
That's what I'm not thinking it's that water surge where, okay, water wins.
Yep.
You know, and
I'm actually really glad you used that metaphor too of the tsunami, because it sort of reminded me, I believe you taught me this about Uranus, where when Uranus moved into Pisces, there were tsunamis. And then when it moved into Aries, there were fires. And when it moved into Taurus, there were earthquakes. And then you're saying when it moves into Gemini, you're thinking like mind war. Is yes. that the same kind of theme? Like it's moving into this element and it's shaking things up sort of violently at first?
Yes, in a consciousness okay. level. And definitely, okay. and I'm going to say this because it was one of those dates, like when Uranus moved into Aries. So this is a good point mm-hmm. in that it wasn't just Aries. It was moving into the beginning of the zodiac. If we look at 0 degrees, Aries being zodiac.
Right. Okay.
And the day, it was March 11th, 2000 something or another.
Yes.
I'm trying, I feel like it was 2011, but I don't. Anyways, I remember the March 11th, that was the day in Japan where we had like the 9.0 earthquake.
Right.
And tsunami and the, you know, the nuclear power. Like it had in one moment, it was such a good Uranus
example
teaching moment because it yeah. happened in a flash immediate.
Right.
That's what Uranus
does. It's like a detonator
does.
Button.
It's a detonator button, exactly. Yeah. And then we still have all the energy, that we're still probably dealing with it, you know.
Okay.
The radiation leak into the ocean. Like it was just, like that was a, and it happened the day. Like it's usually not that perfect, you know,
yeah,
as far as
that's
timing.
That's so freaky.
So freaky. I mean, and I just kept using earthquakes as metaphors. And then everybody, oh, you predicted the earthquake. I'm like, I didn't try to. I was using it yeah. as a metaphor.
Because I'd like to exclude myself from this narrative.
Well, it was just that sometimes things are literal. And I think that yeah. that is a timing we're moving into astrologically where time is speeding up. So if we think time's speeding right. up, where they have measured this. So this is the beauty of, I think, things moving into like air and fire and really that air element of, we have technology moving rapidly, but technology has moved up enough that, you know, they like even the Schumann resonance, you know, I don't know if you've heard of that. It's kind of like heartbeat of the planet where there's this measurable beating and we could say is time. That has been speeding up since that time. Like it literally, oh. whatever that pulse is that can be measured with technology has sped up. And so I think we really are looking at our concept of time speeding up. And that's again where I'm saying we have time where things can slow down enough that we can get on that and move with it rather than it
taking over us.
Yeah, jump on board before it speeds away.
Exactly. And I wanted to say that I do think when Neptune does move into Aries and later, because going back to what I was saying with the research,
yeah,
that I think that there may be some legalization of like those stronger psychedelics.
Oh, cool.
I think that's exciting. We're in that, but instead of demonizing it, we know that, and there still will be people that, you know, I'm not saying everybody should do psychedelic expansion, you know, spiritual expansion unless they feel called to it, you know, or mind nervous system reparation, because I think that's like one of the biggest things to come out of it, but that you do it with a doctor who know, and if it's legalized, you know, you can find the people that know how to work
to these things.
Yeah, then we have access to this and we don't have to go into the hidden shadows to deal with that.
I love that. Yeah, it's safer for everyone.
It is. And so it's funny. Yeah, you're asking about, it's like, I love going into the future. I hadn't even thought about it. So that's my thought, like just, oh, let me think.
Yeah. No, I love, and I think this is amazing because we're getting three really big examples of like strong energies for like the entire year, not necessarily like, you know, personal or chart specific, but we've got Neptune and Uranus and Jupiter making these big moves.
But that, remember,
everyone.
Neptune, Uranus move into their next signs in 2025.
2025. Okay, cool.
And so right now, we're getting shit done that needs to get done, whatever that is, before they make their change.
Okay, so do your PowerPoint.
Do your PowerPoint while the North Node is in Aries. Who are you? Mm-hmm. I love that exercise you have. And also, and this takes me to the university that my daughter Nina went to called Quest University.
Yes, so cool.
And their whole point was to develop critical thinking. That's why we loved that university so much. Mm-hmm. And the very first class they did was just on deconstructing like your thought. Like, why do you think this? Where do you think? Why? Why are you thinking this? Did you get this, you know, and doing rhetoric? And, you know, is this because this is what your parents told you, or this is what you learned over here? And trying to deprogram that and then program in thinking for yourself. And if we do that, and that's why I think that we still have the luxury to be a little bit adolescent in that, meaning is we're coming into our mind, like we need to have that's why this year is sort of like that year of, okay, I'm coming into my own thinking. So some of it might be immaturely prompted. And I'm saying that with zero judgment, because we have to start somewhere. So if we start something from new, we need to have the freedom to explore, right? Of like who I am and what I'm doing. So a little bit of a selfishness allowance, but it's tracking to maturity.
Yeah.
Because when because we get instant feedback, right? Because the South Node's in Libra. So we have what is Libra? The other.
Mm-hmm.
It's where your selfishness will land, right? And I'm saying this again, zero judgment. I'm just using big words to make a point. So if I need to say this about my, you know, this is where I am and I am feeling blah, 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 blah. So it needed to be said, but then the person in front of you might go, oh my God, like I'm, you know, a mess. I'm thrown off by that. You know, the other. And so the next time we might go, okay, so when the nodes move into Pisces and Virgo, then we're like, okay, I can mature how I say it, but you're not penalized. Yeah. That's my point.
Okay.
We get feedback from the other. And hey, the other might really move into a place of like, you're a terrible person for saying that. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want people that are going to make me codependent or make me feel like I'm a villain for saying that.
Right.
I need to be able to express myself. And so we find the balance, right? And we might edit a few people out. And that's okay.
Ooh. Okay. That's a good lesson. And I think something that people should prepare for. Sometimes you do have to edit people out of your life. It was one of the first lessons you taught me is that sometimes you spiritually outgrow people. And it was such a great reframe of loss of certain relationships. It just made so many things clear for me. So I hope someone else listening can pick up on that too. Sometimes people will be edited out.
Yes. And our goal, and maybe we won't get to this point exactly until later, meaning when the nodes then move into their next, which is going to be January of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of we don't have to make them bad to justify moving on.
Yep. They don't have to be a villain.
They don't have to be a villain. We don't have to be a victim.
Yep.
That sometimes we just outgrow.
It's just the end of a chapter.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay. It's okay. And we can be thankful and appreciative of what we gained when we were with them. And then we move on. Because that's
such a good point. Yes.
And that is actual wisdom, right? And moving into wisdom and growing and growth.
Yeah.
If the other person isn't on the same realization that you are, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. They can have whatever view they have. It doesn't matter. It's where you are. And that's another Aries moment that you have to keep coming back to of like,
okay,
even if they're out of balance, I mean, no ill harm. I'm clear.
Yeah.
And
they don't have to be my enemy for me to close a chapter or move on or separate. I think sometimes we try to apply anger as like a coping mechanism. Like it's easier to let someone go if they're bad or you're angry.
Yes. I mean, I think that's a lot of what we do. You see this even in like couples breaking up.
Right.
Or divorces, where, okay, they did this to me. They promised life with me and now they're not. And it's like, okay, move on. We have to move on because it doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. Like we're
getting, totally.
That's a North Node Aries lesson. Okay. That's what being, air quote, selfish is. It's taking your own mental health and seeing, justified or not, what impact does this have on you? By repeating the narrative over and over in your head.
Right. Reinforcing that message.
Reinforcing that message, just reinforce. And this is what I think we will have more clarity on as far as research goes, is holding certain thought patterns can literally be damaging to your nervous system. I think our technology, like we know this, certain groups know this, because guess what? It's written into our oldest spiritual books and codes. Just even the concept of forgiveness. Like that's what forgiveness, like if we look at Buddhists that was the Jesus message too. It doesn't, matter where it comes from, but like letting it go, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, remove the poison from your own body. Release it.
Release it. And it's about that. It's selfish for you, not for them. It has nothing to do with them, actually.
Yeah.
I wish we
had more words for selfish, like the umbrella.
I know. Let's do this. Let's come up with our own words, Dominique. There has to be.
For like a nice version of selfish where it's healthy. I'm like, I don't know, like the divine self, like divine selfishness.
Well, it's one of the metaphors I will use, I will always say, instead of being self-centered, it's centered in self.
Yes, exactly. That's the vibe of like, you're taking care of yourself. You're getting in touch with yourself in a way that is in harmony with others and isn't megalomaniacal.
Yes. And so this is the undoing that I think we can undo and then rewire in is realizing how we are shaped by outer events. This happened to me because we're outside of ourself. And so coming to the center of yourself. And then when you're translating things from the inside out, we can measure, oh, maybe this has nothing to even do with me. This person is projecting something onto me that doesn't even belong mm-hmm. to me. I remind them of somebody or something.
Yeah.
And so we might even, dare we say, have a moment of compassion. That will be North Node in Pisces, that we mature into that next level of, oh, okay, my ego isn't going to get into this and go, well, that's not fair because I didn't do that and you're projecting your shit onto me.
Right.
It's more of like, oh, they're seeing a different something. I feel bad for him. They right. are in pain.
Okay.
And I am catalyzing that criticism. That pain. Exactly. And going, oh, okay. Like I've been in those situations, Pisces moon. I can be people's mirror sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it. And this, maybe it's with age, but I clicked and it was, you know, like I remember this one woman, like having a freak out. And I just, like, I didn't even care what she was saying to me. I just like, oh, I am so sorry that I made you feel like that. Oh, I could see. Oh, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. I didn't mean to do that. I wasn't coming from that, but I'm so sorry. And then de-escalating.
Right.
And then you actually get to them and then they look at you and they're like, oh, okay, now I can see you. Whoa, yeah, mm-hmm. I was doing that, wasn't I? You know, I'm telling you, that's going to be how things transition, you know? And it doesn't matter where you are as an individual within that, we get to shift that. What I mean by that is like being upset that somebody's blaming us for something that has nothing to do with you, you know, to being upset by somebody that maybe they have nothing to do with why you're upset. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm really mad at mom or mad. Usually it comes down to that. We're mad at
one of your parents.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, and then maybe we just go and forgive our parents. Doesn't mean we live with them or we have to, you know, that's, I think what we're going to be moving into is it doesn't, we're getting clear on what that means. It doesn't mean I accept you fully, you know, into my life. It's just, okay.
Yeah. Or what you did in the past was okay, but I'm releasing the anger I feel around it. That makes sense.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, guess what? You are stuck in time.
Yeah.
You're stuck. Your nervous system still thinks it's 5 years old or 7 years old.
Yeah, that makes 100% sense.
And so maybe too, this, you know, as we're moving into these other energies, I've actually had this thought before too with, you know, Pluto moving into Aquarius, you know, and these other forces moving into Gemini, you know, the fire air thing. Mm-hmm. But Aquarius in particular is frequency. That's how I look at it. I know I've talked to you about that before. Like the glyph.
Off mic.
Even though, the glyph, it's those squiggly lines that, you know, we think of water, you know, because Aquarius is
or
the
vibration.
Water bearer. Yeah, it's not, it's the container.
Right.
It's what gives a container to the water, right?
Yep.
So it is water, emotion, the container, frequency. Yep. Our nervous system is Aquarius.
Yep.
That electrical energy holding
the
what?
Pulses.
Emotion, water.
Mm-hmm.
So those old things, those old patterns are going to be able to be healed. And we already see that, right? There's mm-hmm. a little Neptune Pisces as well of like that somatic healing. Like we have done a lot of bringing it more to a mainstream level. A lot of therapists will now, you know, utilize somatic healing. I think we're going to see even more normalizing of that. And
I love it. We even have an episode on somatic healing.
Oh, that's amazing. That's beautiful. So reference that episode and we're going to see that take off.
Love
just
to hear this.
Springboard, I think, into the future where that's another self-resourcing tool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Okay.
So that's
some Aries lessons again.
Some Aries lessons again. Yeah,
exactly. I love it. Okay, so on the Aries note, I know we mentioned at the beginning of the episode that we were going to talk a little bit about the fiery Mercury retrogrades. Do you want to?
Yes,
I know we've been talking for a minute, but I think we can do it kind of briefly, like a little demystifying of Mercury retrograde being scary.
Yes.
It's not. And then the timing for each of them this coming year.
Okay, perfect. Yes, I could do this. So to break down what Mercury retrograde is, Mercury is closest to the sun. So it's 88 days it takes to go around the sun. But from our perspective, right outside of us, in order to keep up, it appears to go retrograde 3 times a year. And when Mercury goes retrograde, it tends to be in the same element like for a year. It shifts. So what we have this year is Mercury will be doing its retrograde in fire. And let's just say what Mercury retrograde is too. So first, Mercury retrograde cycles, they're times of reflection. They're times of pivoting. And Mercury is a planet. It's how we think, how we move, how we interact, how we take in information, how we process information, how we transmit information. So we're looking at those things, how, you know, like even if we just put it into the mind, how we perceive things, it allows us to stop. We're going to go back over territory because that's what a retrograde is. Retrogrades are going over an area we've already been through. Something we've already done. Right. So we tend to feel like things are not moving as fast as we'd like during a retrograde cycle. So the way these times, Mercury retrogrades, may feel to our bodies, to our minds, is this force of resistance. But this resistance is good because this is the point where we are able to integrate what we've already done. And then when the planet goes direct, that's when we can run with it. So whatever goes on during a retrograde, Mercury retrograde cycle, we always have to think back 3 weeks, what was happening 3 weeks beforehand. And whatever issues came up, we get to go, if we brush them under the rug, they're going to scream in our face. They're going to, you know, like fender bender. They're going to rear end us or front end us.
Which is kind of a Mercury retrograde occurrence.
Literally, it is, because vehicles, exactly.
Right.
Little details go off because it's all the details. And so it will come in glaring if we didn't go, oh, okay, I see you. I know what we're dealing with. And then you get to use that retrograde cycle to deal with it. So that's what a Mercury retrograde is. Like that, a retrograde cycle is just simply a time to reflect, a time to know where I can pivot. Because pivoting requires what? Stopping your motion and going in another direction. Like that's what a pivot, because it offers redirection time. We may end up staying going in the direction we were going, but we feel more solid with it. It's like having a really challenging professor that like just speaks in advanced ways, let's say, or like speaks fast. And then the retrograde would be going to the tutor or going to
the TA.
The TA, exactly. And like, hey, can you explain this to me? And so it slows down. Okay, let me break this down. And then the direct would be, okay, I get it. Now I can utilize the information the professor was giving me because I get it. But I needed time to go back and understand it. I don't know if that works. Okay,
that
so there's that.
Total sense, yeah. And I love that you explained what it actually is, because Mercury retrograde obviously has a really bad rap in the mainstream media. It's like one of the only transits that has made it outside of the astrological world. Like everyone at large knows the term Mercury retrograde.
Exactly. And which is great, isn't it? Because what is Mercury? Mercury's the quickest planet besides the moon. But and people knew the moon before Mercury. Like we're getting it in order, right? You know? Yep.
And I'm like, all press is good press.
That's great. But Mercury is like how we navigate. So it is a good one. And people just generally know, although more people know more now than they did, say, 10 years ago.
Oh, for sure. Neptune and Pisces? I don't know.
but it is that, exactly, Neptune and Pisces, having access to information that seems so woo-woo and out of context. Like, I don't get that stuff.
And that stuff isn't
real.
Barriers to that.
The mystical, exactly, breaking down those barriers. But our windows, so April 1st is the first. This is our first Mercury retrograde.
Oh my God, on April Fool's Day?
Yes, exactly. That'll be a funny one because...
Hilarious.
Hilarious, except that we are coming into a big eclipse. But Mercury is the jokester. Like, mm-hmm. It is, you know...
Hermes.
Hermes, exactly. Pan, you know, Mercury is very Pan-like. So April 1st, and we'll start at 27 degrees Aries, and we'll go until April 25th. And we'll go direct at 15 degrees Aries. So this is good homework. Look in your chart. In fact, this is something that is good to do at the beginning of every year. Like writing those down, looking at where they are in your chart, if you have any planets in there. If you don't have planets in there, it may not really do a lot to you. You just might observe other people. So that first one will be in Aries and is important because we will have an eclipse in this. So the nodes, this is the one that... I think will be kind of the baptism by fire, baptizing us, our consciousness, our minds, trying to wrap around things, kind of moving us into having to think in a different way. Because this is also where we're going to be in that time that we have Jupiter-Uranus conjunct. So that expansion time. By the way, I don't think I said this, but I noticed White Moon Lilith is also going to be a part of this conjunction. So Jupiter, Uranus, and what White Moon Lilith is, it's sort of like we have Black Moon Lilith, mm-hmm. which would be, I don't know if we go, Wizard of Oz. You know,
that works.
A little bit of... This is terrible because I really don't think of Black Moon like this, but just for context, we'll say, you know, Black Moon Lilith, Wicked Witch of the West.
Wicked Witch of the West, yeah.
White Moon Lilith is Glenda, the Good Witch. So there's light.
And our podcast mascot.
Exactly. And really, I have so many good things to say about Black Moon. You know, Lilith.
Oh, that's
and
positive. I like that.
There's a Medusa. And just like that would be a podcast episode that would be pretty cool to do as far as like looking at, because it has more to do with feminism and being, you know, put into the shadows, female power. So, you know, well, I'm happy I said that. So that's that. The other side of it, White Moon is sort of bringing light to that. So so there may be a lot brought into, you know, as far as like whatever we think of as feminism and just really all peopleism, you know,
like
we're really moving into having to look at everyone as having value, whether you like it or not. The people you hate, the enemy, different political parties, all of that, like we're going to have to start seeing even a little bit of like their humanity and like, okay, this is whether or not. And having a place to, because this is an election year.
Oh God, so, I forgot. How could
trigger alert.
Yeah.
Like it is looking like Trump's gonna, you know.
Don't say it.
Maybe running. So we're gonna have to figure out how we're gonna have to deal with different energies and not just sit in enemy energy. So, I didn't mean to go there, but it's getting us ready for that. Like, who knows? Maybe there's something within this timing that makes us go, oh my God. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be political, but it's just, it's going to be in the culture. You know, it's going to be.
It's something to be aware of.
It's something to
in
be
the U.S.
aware of. In the U.S., exactly. And you know what happens in the U.S. tends to, you know,
have some influence.
It gets on other people too in the world.
So that's April.
That's April, but let's hold good light. Let's hold good energy. We the people, you know? So, but that's the first one. So see if you have any planets in there.
Okay. In Aries and also in Taurus with the conjunction or just Aries?
Well, absolutely. If you have anything near, I would say like between 19 degrees and 23 degrees Taurus. I'm giving it a little bit of a tight, like you're really in it. Expansion. Yeah. Expect expansion. expect the unexpected. That's the Uranus mm-hmm. statement. We may not be able to even see like what's ahead, but you, if you have anything there and whatever the topics of that planet are, you know, you're going to be able to have some breakthrough energy and moving okay. through energy. If it is something like Mars or, you know,
a malefic,
then it's, well, Mars, yeah, that
basically,
or
Mars.
Saturn, yeah,
yeah.
It would, you know, it might temper more Mars. Mars is the
okay.
one.
It's so like Mars and Taurus. That
you want to lay low.
Okay.
You know, and let it pass through.
So a later degree, Taurus, Mars, chill during this transit. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And then you'll get to do something with it. But definitely alchemize it in your own space, in your own world. What
great
do you
word.
Want to create movement for? Yeah. So that's the first one. Oh, I did want to make this little note. It's not part of the retrograde, but there's a really juicy, beautiful day. May 18th, we have Venus-Uranus conjunct at 23 Ooh. Degrees. So right at that point of, so I think Venus will be coming into sort of harmonize because where does Venus love to be but Taurus, you know? So it's still in yeah. Taurus. Venus-Uranus at 23 degrees Taurus. And then we're going to have Sun Jupiter at 28 Taurus.
Okay.
So we have the benefics
chilling
in consort with, but they're each with like tightly tied to one of those stronger time shaping planets. So
they've
Uranus
got a date.
With Venus. Yes, exactly. And Jupiter with the Sun. So that's like a good, like for those who practice any kind of alchemizing or magic, like mm-hmm. that's a
May
really
18th.
Good intention setting day, especially intentions around both relationship, money. This is where you let go. Uranus okay. will bring into your vision that which you were unwilling to look at before, as far as like a, oh, maybe this is a yes. I never would have said yes to that before. It helped.
Okay.
You're giving permission. So I just wanted to mention that little day. And
Love
then,
it.
Yes, we already talked about Jupiter. Then Jupiter's moving into Gemini on the 25th for a year, basically.
Okay.
And then I did want to make this point. Sorry, I'm kind of doing it in order of what's happening in between these Mercury retrogrades.
The dates.
Yeah. And then July 2nd, Neptune will station retrograde at 29 degrees and 55 minutes of Pisces.
Oh, wow. At the
That's
final
a big
moment.
Deal. Yeah. As a final moment.
Yeah.
And this is that last bit of Pisces before it moves into Aries on March 30th. So this okay. is the last that we have of really being on that spiritual level. I always look at 29 degrees Pisces as that door. It's the door between this world and that world. It's the door where, like, if we're in spirit or moving, like, metaphorically, this is where we're a soul and then we land in a human body and we're in this experience. Like, it's
yeah.
that, and it kind of a foot in each world, and it's Neptune. So that little window of time before it moves into Aries in March of 2025, like, it's a special, I think that's a really special one. We'll develop this again later, but I just wanted to put that little moment in there. And then our next Mercury retrograde begins August 4th.
Okay.
And this is the one that has a little bit of Earth. So it will start at 4 degrees Virgo.
That's fortunate.
and then it, on August 28th, it moves direct and it will be at 21 Leo.
Okay.
So, and just a little note, on August 18th, that's the day that Mercury crosses that membrane of Earth fire. We'll
okay.
move from, you know, Virgo into Leo. So it'll change. So it starts out a little slow. And mm-hmm. this, boy, if there ever was a time, that's a little window. So what is that? August 4th to August 18th.
Okay.
That it's still, Mercury still has like a tremendous amount of strength, right?
Right. Because it's in Virgo.
Because it's in Virgo. It's double good.
Yeah.
Because it's both exalted and in rulership. So we do not want to miss that little window. In fact, this would be another moment to say, put this in your calendar. If you have to get things done, take care of business and anything, conversations. Even though it's retrograde, you might feel more comfortable doing things. Research, information you need that has been hard to get. Mm-hmm. The retrograde kind of loosens the reins a bit, that you just type in this one thing or random, like, whoa, this tracked to this. This person walked in and just had this perfect information that I needed, that I was looking for. And it was just like, be alert and aware during those few weeks.
Okay.
And then it'll get a little, you know, we'll just say when it goes into Leo, it gets a little feistier and maybe a little more like egoic.
Okay.
I'm not taking Leo down to be super ego. It just like, you know, we might feel more sensitive.
Okay.
And then it goes direct on that August 28th at 21 Leo. So that's our next one. And then we're really settled into fire. And, you know, maybe what it is, the first one, Aries, like, new thought is being thrown at you. You have to think of new, like new, something new. That's a real pivot one. Fresh energy, fresh, okay, excitement. There might be excitement even around it. A lot of moving energy. The second one, okay, let me get my head on straight. We have the Mercury in Virgo, and then it moves into Leo, and it's more of like, okay, what does this mean to me? Because it's Leo. So it's like the heart center. We bring it into our heart. We have discernment. Then we go to the heart. And then the last one will be in Sag. So from November 25th through December 15th, Mercury will be retrograde in Sag. So that's the maturing point.
Okay.
This is when we know what to do with it. Ah, this is what it means on a bigger level. It's not just about me. Now I know I can take what I learned about myself and take it out in a bigger level.
Okay.
And so that's the Sag wisdom.
We've got
so
the
this
wisdom
is
from
easy to really simplify Mercury's offering for this year.
Okay.
We like get a new thought. Something is newly introduced to us at the beginning, which will be April. We figure out, what does this mean to me? I don't have it quite figured out. Ah, there it is. What do I invite into my heart? Will be the August one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do I do with that? How do I track that into a bigger picture? This means something to me, will be that November through December time.
That's so cool. So on a like personal level for each of us, we're looking at where this is in our chart, how we can apply this to our lives. On a more collective scale, you know, just speaking to what people know from pop culture, like should people be more cautious with contracts or travel, like booking travel plans? I know like one of those is literally the holiday season. Are there any things that people should be mindful of during those periods as well?
So contracts, I do not tell people that it's a hard no to sign a contract during Mercury retrograde. It's that you have to really do your research.
Yeah, be extra careful. Don't just sign on the dotted line without reading.
Exactly.
Cool.
And just wait, like you might need more information. You know, that's what I'd say about that. The middle one, even though Mercury's retrograde, like for as far as travel goes,
yeah,
it's usually inconvenient. That's
versus
more,
catastrophic.
versus catastrophic. And I always say this, Mercury retrograde in a strong sign is still preferred to Mercury direct in a sign it doesn't even have a, you know, any kind of dignity or
safety
or like rulership.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Like where it rules. Like Mercury direct, I don't know, I'm just picking around him in Leo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that wasn't the best one. Mercury direct in Aries, we'll say. Mm-hmm. You know, I would still take, even though it's direct, I will still take the Mercury retrograde in Virgo.
Right, because you're losing a point, but you still got the extra points. Like Virgo got the extra 2 points. You're only minusing one.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, I didn't specify the Mercury and Sag cycle. It starts at 22 degrees Sag and moves to 6 degrees Sag.
Okay.
So
it's
again,
squarely in Sagittarius.
Yes. Now, Mercury is not strong in Sag. Mercury rules Gemini. So this is a time I would, like, if you don't have to, even though this is going to be, you know, well, do we have a holiday? Like, I don't know if Thanksgiving
there's, like, Thanksgiving,
there,
but, and then, I think people go home for, like,
Christmas. December 15th, but it'll be direct by then. But it's just more, you know, what I would say is I wouldn't do international travel during that time. International to wherever you are, you know.
Don't come visit me, I guess.
During that end of year.
Yeah. Rush.
Let's give Dominique a little rest. I know you, it is a, like a hotel door. You have a lot. I mean, of course, who doesn't want to go visit you?
Now it's mostly for moved. Stella, I think.
Yes. that's kind of sweet. But that, you know, we take it more, I would track the Mercury Sag cycle into our consciousness, into a bigger picture, you know. And this is going to be post-election results. Will we get results, you know?
Who even knows at this point?
Because the front shadow starts November 7th to that one. And what is Election Day? I know it's like a... It's that November, like right
before
that. It's
always a work day. I should know this. This is embarrassing.
So it's like the beginning. I want to say it's November 2nd or 4th, but it's like, I know, I feel bad too. But I know it's like right there at the beginning of November.
It's the 5th. November 5th.
Oh, it's the 5th. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Mercury hits the front shadow November 7th. So is it possible we might not have, like, it's not going to be straightforward, and there won't
be recounts.
Will
history repeat itself?
History could repeat itself definitely with this one, because it does. So there will be going back over territory. And it's Sag. What is Sag? Politics.
God.
I mean, we know what that Mercury retrograde belongs to.
Yeah.
So... That's that one. And by the way, just, I know it's like more tracking into than 2025, but it's a big deal when Venus or Mars go retrograde. Those are the two we really like pay attention to.
Right.
And Mars to me the most, you know. And
like,
Mars,
didn't we just have one? No, it's like 2.5 years ago, huh?
Well, it's like every 2 years.
Yeah,
it's
every 2 years. I'm like, no, it was just the other day. No, it was 2 years ago.
Oh, yes, exactly. And
the
so,
Gemini one. Like,
I'm so literal. Well, actually, it was technically 2 years ago. But such a head sometimes.
I love it. No, it's the best.
But we will have Mars going retrograde when Mercury goes retrograde, or is in its retrograde. So Mars goes retrograde on December 6th.
Fun.
At 6 degrees Leo. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll go direct February 23rd of 2025.
Oh, I have two placements, 6 degrees Leo.
Yep. And that's going to be a big one. And we know that will traverse two signs. It's going to go from Leo into Cancer, where it's debilitated.
Mars retrograde Cancer, LOL.
So we know. I mean, that's a whole other topic. But we can, so this is what prepping is. It's just like making sure we are healthy in our consciousness. We give ourselves parameters that if the political noise out there is too much, give yourself permission to step out of it, put your feet on the ground, go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Think of somebody, something you love, come back into your heart space.
Find a happy place.
Find your happy place, and then go step back out into the world to observe what's going on, to try to be more observational than getting stuck in the storm.
Yes.
And holding, doing the world a favor by holding balanced space in yourself. Like that, I think that's all we can expect from people. It's just being able to find your center, back to that Aries, being centered in self, and then thinking about all the possibilities of what could be going on.
The external, yeah.
The external, yeah.
Okay. That was a lot. We covered a lot.
Oh my gosh, that was a lot. And that was a lot.
So. No, I love it. That was so thorough. Thank you. We got so much more than we bargained for today.
As always.
As always. I know. I don't know why I'm surprised any of these times. I'm like, wow, we did so much today. Shocking.
Shocking.
Shannon, this was so thorough. We covered so much of the year. I know we'll probably come back around. We'll do some Black and White Moon Lilith stuff. We'll maybe do a little Mars retrograde survival again. Whatever you want to do, obviously, we're up for it.
Yeah, we have so many things we can talk about, right?
And, oh my God, endless.
And yeah, amazing. Okay. Well, we'll keep in astro touch and keep everybody going.
Good luck out there, everyone. Babes, you made it all the way through, and I am so proud of you. That was a huge cosmic download. If you want to learn more from Shannon, head to her website at moongathering.com. And if you want to start learning basics from me, you heard that right, click the link in the episode description for a little astrological appetizer. You can also sign up for our newsletter and get the latest cosmic, podcast, and Parisian updates delivered straight to your inbox. Dominique en Rose is also available on Substack and linked in the description. All right, that's enough of that. I will see you here next week. I love you all so much. Je vous aime beaucoup. Gros bisous. À bientôt. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of This Is Fine. I've been your host, Dominique Michelle Astorino. We're based in San Diego, recording in studio at DLI Productions in
Paris,
Pacific Beach, with Emmy Award-winning sound designer Dan De La Isla. This is a comedy and advice podcast, but for legal reasons, this entire podcast is a joke and none of it is medical advice. To download a transcript or learn more, visit thisisfinepodcast.com.